When you think about training for a nuclear power plant, it's serious business. We're looking at maybe one of the highest stakes training areas in any industry today.
Absolutely. It's an environment where you need absolute reliability. Standardized knowledge isn't just nice to have, it's critical for safety. Global safety, really.
Yeah, you can't really afford variation when the stakes are that high, which is why I guess the industry needed more than just a collection of different college programs feeding into it.
Exactly. They needed a single standard, something everyone agreed on for entry-level folks.
And that standard is what we're going to dig into today. It's the Uniform Curriculum Guide, document ACAD 08-006, the latest version, revision 2, from July 2025.
Right. This is basically the blueprint. It defines how you create qualified entry-level workers, whether they're aiming for, say, non-licensed operations, maintenance, or technician roles.
So our mission today is to unpack how this whole standardization thing works. We want to look at why it was even created in the first place.
The workforce demands behind it.
What kind of foundational knowledge they expect, and some of it's surprisingly detailed, you know.
Oh, definitely. The nuclear fundamentals certificate stuff.
And then how they maintain quality, how this Nuclear Uniform Curriculum Program, the NUCP, keeps all the colleges and utilities aligned.
It's quite a system.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning then. Why did the industry feel the need to write this incredibly detailed manual?
Well, you have to go back a bit to the early 2000s, roughly. The U.S. commercial nuclear industry, they recognized a challenge coming down the line.
Which was?
Getting and keeping enough well-qualified workers.
Yes.
Simple as that, but hard to solve. Competition for technical skills was heating up everywhere.
Right. Not just in nuclear.
Exactly. And nuclear power couldn't risk falling behind. They were looking at a potential workforce crunch.
So the Nuclear Energy Institute, NEI, they stepped in.
They did. They launched a big workforce initiative. And that eventually led to creating this Nuclear Uniform Curriculum Program, the NUCP.
And this wasn't just like a few people in a room sketching things out.
Oh, no. It was much more structured. A formal task force got together back in early 2008.
Okay.
And it included, the utilities themselves, INPO, the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations, government agencies, and importantly, colleges and universities.
So a real collaboration.
Absolutely. They all worked together to define exactly what entry-level ready should mean for a nuclear plant.
And this document, ACAD 08-006, what were its main goals?
Pretty clear goals, actually.
Okay.
First, set an industry standard for certificate and associate degree programs focused on nuclear tech.
Make things consistent.
Yes, consistency across different schools was key. And also, clearly define the knowledge level they expected graduates to have.
For those specific roles, like operators and technicians.
Right. But maybe the most practical goal, especially for someone starting out, is how it helps the transition from college into the utility's own training program.
How does it do that?
Through something called a gap analysis. Utilities use this ACAD standard to see exactly what the student learned in college.
Ah, so they don't have to repeat stuff.
Precisely. It avoids redundancy. The college learning gets credited, and the new hire can jump right into the more specific utility training they need. It's a huge efficiency boost.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. The standard acts like a bridge. So let's talk about the knowledge itself. The real core of this whole thing seems to be in section two, the core curriculum. What's the outcome for a student there?
Right, that's the absolute foundation. If you successfully complete that core part, you earn the Nuclear Fundamentals Program Certificate.
Okay.
Think of it as, I don't know, the essential safety knowledge license you need before you can even think about specializing further.
And looking through the requirements for this certificate, wow, their definition of fundamental is pretty intense. Take math, for example.
Yeah, it's not just algebra.
Not at all. They expect proficiency in trig, graphs, control charts. But the thing that jumped out at me is basic statistics.
Yep, that's a required element. Students need to be able to explain and actually use concepts like mean, mode, standard deviation, percent error.
Why that level of detail? Why does an entry-level tech need to know standard deviation on day one?
Well, think about procedural compliance, monitoring trends. In a plant, you're constantly looking at instrument readings, calibration data.
Okay.
You need to recognize immediately if a reading is drifting outside its expected statistical range. It's about safety-critical data analysis, not just solving abstract math problems.
Got it. That puts it in perspective. Okay, let's jump to another one, heat transfer and fluid flow. It covers basic thermodynamics, sure, but it also gets into some very specific safety issues.
It really does. This section tackles concepts that directly prevent major equipment failures, like water hammer.
Right, pressure surge.
Exactly. They need to understand the different types, what causes it, and crucially, how to prevent it. Because if you don't understand the physics,
you could damage equipment.
Yeah.
Maybe even safety systems.
Potentially, yes. Or another key item, high point vents. Knowing why systems need them and where to prevent air binding.
Air binding, that stops flow, right?
Completely. It can make cooling systems useless.
Yeah.
So yeah, these aren't just textbook concepts. They're practical safety knowledge baked right into the fundamentals.
And basic atomic and nuclear physics, I saw they need detailed knowledge of fission, including prompt versus delayed neutrons. Why is that distinction so fundamental?
Well, delayed neutrons are basically the reason we can control reactors at all.
Okay.
Without them, the rate of power change would be far too fast for any control system, human or automated, to handle.
Yeah.
Understanding that difference is core to understanding reactor stability and control.
Makes sense. And they also need to identify common radioactive sources in the plant.
Yes. Things like cobalt-60, cesium-177, iodine-131. Knowing what they are and where they might be is fundamental for radiation protection planning.
Okay, and maybe the most striking part of this core section is reactor plant protection and safety. It explicitly requires knowing about major accidents.
Yes. It specifically lists Fukushima Daiichi, Three Mile Island, and Chernobyl. Students need to be able to summarize basic information about what happened.
Wow. So past failures are now required foundational knowledge.
It's a powerful statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
It means the lessons learned from the industry's worst events are embedded right from the start. Ensures those root causes aren't forgotten. That core certificate really lays down the entire safety groundwork.
Okay, so that fundamental certificate covers the basic science, the history, the core safety principles. But obviously, working in a plant requires specialization. How does this guide build on that foundation for, say, an operator or a rad protection tech?
Right. That takes us into the next level, the discipline-specific knowledge needed for the full associate degree. There are four main tracks. Let's maybe start with radiological protection technicians, the RPTs.
Okay. Their focus is all about health physics, controlling exposure.
Exactly. Intensely focused on it. Their requirements cover the biological effects and risks of radiation, knowing the difference between stochastic and non-stochastic effects, acute versus chronic exposure.
And the ALRRA concept as low as reasonably achievable.
Which is the guiding principle for everything they do, really. And the technical detail required is, well, it's impressive. They need to know how to calculate skin dose from contamination, for instance.
Okay.
And understand some less intuitive phenomena, like skyshine.
Skyshine? What on earth is that?
It sounds a bit strange, I know. But it's a real phenomenon where radiation, usually gamma rays, scatters off the atmosphere.
Up in the air.
Yeah, and then comes back down to the ground, potentially outside of shielded areas.
Huh. So it bypasses shielding, kind of?
In a way, yes. It's a scattered dose pathway. If you don't account for it, your dose assessments could be wrong. RPTs need to know how to monitor for it and factor it into their calculations.
Fascinating. Okay, what about chemistry technicians? Their world seems very focused on lab work and analysis.
It is. And highly specialized equipment. They need proficiency with things like an atomic absorption spectrophotometer or an ion chromatograph.
Not your standard high school chem lab equipment.
Definitely not. And their theory goes deep into things like corrosion prevention, understanding how to control it during operation, during shutdowns.
And I saw something about intergranular stress corrosion in boiling water reactors.
Yes, minimizing that is critical in BWRs. They also need to understand how managing chemistry, specifically corrosion, links directly to radiation levels plant-wide.
Like controlling cobalt sources to reduce overall dose rates.
Exactly that. It connects the chemistry directly to radiological safety and plant longevity. It's all interconnected.
Okay, last track, maintenance. This covers mechanical, electrical, and INC instrument and control. What's common across these?
A huge shared focus is electrical safety and arc flash mitigation. That's fundamental for almost any hands-on maintenance work in a power plant environment.
Makes sense. Very hazardous potential there.
Absolutely. And the training is designed to be immediately applicable. For the mechanical folks, for example, they cover really specific high-skill tasks.
That's
things like installing the tensioners on reactor pressure vessel studs. That's incredibly precise, safety-critical work. Or overhauling large diesel engines or turbines.
Right. And the INC techs, the instrument and control people, they're dealing with the plant's brain and nervous system, essentially.
Pretty much. They need advanced electronics knowledge, digital systems, op amps specifically for troubleshooting the nuclear instrumentation systems, and the critical reactor protection systems.
It really shifts your perception of what an associate degree program entails. This is highly complex, hands-on system work.
It absolutely is.
So we've talked about why this standard exists and the incredible detail of what it contains. Which brings up the big question, how do they keep this standard consistent across all the different colleges teaching it? That's where the quality control part comes in, right?
Yes, and it relies on a pretty formal structure. The key is the Agreement of Understanding, or AOU.
Okay, what's that?
It's basically a formal contract between the educational partner, the college, and what they call a primary partner.
And the primary partner is?
Always a nuclear utility, a specific power company. And crucially, that utility holds the main oversight responsibility.
Yeah, so the utility is essentially the customer for these graduates, and they get direct oversight of the program.
Exactly. They're responsible for making sure the college's program truly aligns with ACAD 08006. They do this through regular curriculum reviews, usually about every 6 years.
Checking that the material hasn't drifted off track?
Precisely. And it's not just a passive check-in. There's also an advisory council.
Okay.
This council is set up jointly by the college and the utility partner. They meet regularly to monitor how the program's doing, look at enrollment, ensure everything stays aligned. It's ongoing collaborative supervision.
So the utility is actively involved throughout.
Very actively. And the final piece is the certificate itself. When a student meets all the criteria.
They get the certificate we talked about earlier.
Yes, but it's issued by the primary utility partner. And this is important. It's co-signed by the executive director of NANT, the National Academy for Nuclear Training.
NANT co-signing. That sounds significant.
It is. It basically validates the credential nationwide. It signals that this isn't just a college certificate. It's an industry-recognized qualification meeting a national standard.
And I read about one more quality check specifically for new partnerships, the challenge meeting.
Ah, yes. That's a key step. If a particular utility and college are setting up this kind of program together for the first time,
they have to have this meeting?
Yes, before any certificates are issued from that new partnership. The challenge meeting is where they demonstrate, you know, that the partnership is solid, the AOU is fully implemented, the curriculum is aligned, and the utility's oversight is actively working.
So it's like a final qualification gate for the partnership itself.
Exactly. It reinforces that the industry, through the utility and NANT, is ultimately certifying the program's adherence to the standard.
So looking back at everything we've discussed, this document, ACAD 08-006-R2, it's really much more than just an academic outline, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a living, breathing standard, a dynamic bridge that connects higher education directly into the very unique high-stakes world of nuclear power.
Yeah, and it really highlights the incredible depth of knowledge that's considered foundational in these safety-critical jobs.
It does. I mean, the definition of basic knowledge here is just so specific, so codified. You need granular expertise on everything from calculating statistical means to understanding the physics of water hammer to prevent equipment damage.
It's really quite something, which maybe leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener, to consider.
When the baseline knowledge for an entry-level technician is this rigorously standardized, demanding specifics ranging from, say, identifying where cobalt 60 might build up in the reactor system, to understanding the sequence of events at Three Mile Island.
What does that level of intense, codified expertise tell us about the complexity and maybe the vulnerability of managing our most critical national infrastructure? What does it take to keep these systems safe and reliable?